Welcome to Culture, Talent, and Growth. Join Anish Shah and the Ruckus team as they invite dynamic leaders to share what they've learned about creating lasting culture, attracting great talent, and achieving sustainable growth. Let's get started.
All right. Today, I am thrilled to be sitting down with the co-founders of the revolutionary at-home Pilates brand Frame Fitness, Melissa, Lee. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us. We're super excited.
I'm really excited to dive in. I'm so glad that we got a chance to kind of get to know each other before this and to hear all about your story. Melissa, I really want to start with you because I know that without your passion for Pilates, none of us would be sitting here right now. Can you just share with us how and when you fell in love with Pilates?
I know we had originally discussed this, but my passion originally was I was a ballerina, so dance was always a part of my life. And when I was around 17, I actually injured, I broke my pelvic bone. And the physician I was going to, I was doing a lot of rehab, and they had suggested mat Pilates as a part of my rehabilitation. So I started initially rehabbing via the mat Pilates, and then I fell in love and I felt like it was a very seamless transition. You actually find a lot of Pilates instructors who are former dancers, professional dancers. So there is this natural evolution. And so I had done my certification and I was always an athlete. So it was something that came very, very naturally. And that was basically the start of my career as a Pilates instructor. So I started with mat. I evolved into reformer. And I designed my first proprietary reformer in 2018.
If I could jump in, I would say I always thought she was a boss.
Hold on. I started as most trainers, Pilates instructors, yoga instructors. I collected many different certifications. So I actually also have my level 2 boxing instruction. My first brick and mortar studio, Pilates studio, actually also had a boxing studio. Yeah, it was a nice cardiovascular complement to reformer Pilates, which is my love.
That's so cool. You don't usually think of those two together, but I love that, the fusion there.
Yeah, totally. It was great.
That's amazing. I also really love the parallel that you're drawing between the motion of Pilates and the motion of dance. And just, it makes so much sense that dancers would find themselves moving into Pilates as just a more, you know, sustainable form of those types of movement.
For sure. I think also foundationally, it's rooted in a lot of low impact exercises. So it's very, very low impact. And it's all about alignment. And essentially, when you've been an athlete like I was, you have a plethora of stress injuries that have accumulated over the years of just high intensity, high impact, and rigorous training. And so as you get a little older, I'm still pretty young, but as you get a little older, and you start to really look at your body as a temple. And now it's like, okay, we have to look at all the stress and strain, hence the stress injuries. And how do we rehab those? And that's why for me, Pilates was, not only was it like a necessity at the time because of an injury, but also I just fell in love with it because we need alignment in our bodies, not only just for everyday exercises to, you know, walk around, to get on a bed and not be in pain. It's something that actually every human being should be doing on the daily, just so that we can live a really sustainable, healthy, happy life.
Absolutely. I think like the long-term impact of being out of alignment, like it's so easy to not recognize it right away. And then you realize you've been, you know, walking on a bum ankle and like adjusting and ruining your alignment for a decade. And all of a sudden you have this really chronic pain that for something that you had just ignored.
For sure. I mean, like I've broken my right ankle 5 times.
From dance?
Oh yeah. Oh, gosh. I have broken toes, ankles, pelvic fracture, lumbar issues, herniated discs. But it's not just for athletes. I mean, athletes in particular have a lot of stress injuries. We've seen just there's sort of this resurgence of a lot of athletes now are much more mindful of their bodies. They're incorporating yoga, they're incorporating Pilates, reformer Pilates is huge with pro athletes right now. But 15 and 20 years ago, it's not something, it wasn't customary. It's a newer enlightenment that athletes have. So we're excited about that. But it's also regular everyday people who aren't athletes still constantly are in some sort of pain just because, you know, living sedentary lifestyles. They go to work, they're on computers, they're hunched over, we're on our smartphones all the time. I think there was, I don't want to throw out a mutated statistic, but there's now a skeletal issue with young, they call tech neck, where young children are developing as young as like 5 years old, this hump here, and it's just from being on iPads and being on their cell phones. So regular people, young children, athletes, we all need to make sure that we're in proper alignment, like muscular skeletal alignment.
I've heard about the tech neck. So
nah, it's really scary.
Like, yeah, we're all just going to be like hunched over in the future. Mm-hmm. I've also heard about like people's pinkies changing shape because they're so like they hold their phone with the pinky supporting it on the bottom so much that it's like curving to hold the phone basically. Slightly less consequential than the neck, but still scary to see the ways that our bodies are really being hindered and damaged by the ways that we're using technology. So that's a great point. Speaking of alignment, I think when you starting a business to build a successful business, you require so much to come together and to be in alignment. But starting a business with your spouse, with young children at home during a global pandemic is a whole other thing entirely. Can you talk to us about just what gave you the idea to start Frame and what your early founder journey was like, considering you had all of those factors at play?
Yeah, so it was fun, to put it mildly.
I'd stop right there. The reason why we were able to do it so well is because I allow her to talk. Can I just sit back and listen?
I'll give you an opportunity to talk.
No, I'm joking.
I love marital advice.
Yeah, exactly. So I mentioned earlier that my first proprietary reformer design was back in 2017, 2018. I was opening up my brick and mortar studio in Toronto, Canada, and I was looking into the market to see which Pilates reformer I would put into my studio. And I wasn't really satisfied with what was on the market. Everything felt archaic. We're still pulling coiled springs. And so I sought out a designer, an industrial designer in New York City, and I was traveling back and forth, and it was a very iterative, difficult process, but it prepped me for my subsequent industrial design, which is the Frame Reformer. So I had opened up a studio. It was 3 years in the making. I designed my own Frame by Melissa Reformer, very different, still cumbersome, larger industrial size, dual platform. And then the pandemic happened about 3 months after I opened. So we're home, very unprecedented times. Lee has many successful businesses. So I had an idea, which I actually had already created the very preliminary design for this home version of Reformer, but I hadn't really had the time to fully explore it. Definitely not from a business perspective. I had just started like the initial creative juices flowing. And I was like, okay, this is a really great idea. And the main reason that spurred that was when I was opening up my own studio and designing my reformer, I had a huge roster of clients that I'd been training for years. And I actually was a Bound Body ambassador for several years. So I was putting Allegra 2s in people's home, and without me being physically there, they would not jump on the reformer. And these are clients I've had for years, like 5 years of training. They understand Pilates inside and out. They're quite advanced. Some of them were pro athletes. They would not get on the reformer without me present. So, and there were a few of them that I maintained. I would send them videos, or I would send them like an instructional list of how they were to do it without me there. And I always had the idea, like, you know, Pilates is something that people do not do on their own. Even if they're highly advanced, they're either doing it in brick and mortar or very small, I would say less than 1% would have me actually physically in their home. That's not the typical. It's actually quite rare. So you want to jump in?
Sure. you know, initially on a brick and mortar, wasn't to me a very scalable business. It could have been, but it would take, you know, a little bit more time. But when she came to me with the idea and the design around a connection reformer, I mean, I looked at it immediately, knew this was going to be an incredible opportunity. So from there, I said, okay, well, we need to create the blueprint. So we sat down, you know, we wrote a business plan, we created a deck, and I said, you know, the thing is, it's not a small opportunity. You got to go out there and raise some money. So, you know, we went out and raised money, and luckily through, you know, a number of connections that I had, we got to the right people in the business. You know, so we were, you know, introduced to Mark Masteroff. He was the original founder of 24 Hour Fitness. He's, you know, they call him basically the Steve Jobs of fitness. And we were so lucky to get him on board because he really understood what startups say. And so for him, he passes on to a number of different strategic partners that we have in this business that really, you know, helped us get to market efficiently and, you know, as we're delivering this month. So, you know, we're very fortunate with Melissa and I working together under one roof during a pandemic. I mean, we had 24 hours a day to, you know, make this happen fast. And it was really interesting because we were raising money online, which really is unprecedented. You know, it hadn't really done. People usually, when they raise money, they go to somebody's office and, you know, they communicate in person. So it was actually way more efficient, I think, because we, you know, we got warmly introduced and we were able to have that conversation and connection. So, you know, that's kind of how we did it. You know, when we look at like our kids being involved, I mean, you had a kid running through the back while you're trying to raise money from some pretty important people out there. So it was definitely a different time, but we felt really comfortable working together. And I think one of the most important parts of working in a startup is trust. And when you have ultimate trust with your partner or spouse or whoever it is, I mean, it allows the business to move efficiently.
One thing he said to me because honestly, you wanted nothing to do with my studio.
Nothing.
He wanted nothing to do
with it.
A couple of weeks before we're about to open, a lot of things sort of like they had to be assembled. They were coming from overseas. I had a boxing studio with aqua beds and like this crazy intricate lighting and custom wallpaper. So Lee, the 2 weeks before opening, was like,
"Who assembled all that?"
Like,
I assembled.
Yeah.
Always a supportive husband, but the ability to scale wasn't quite as enticing for you.
It wasn't. Yeah, exactly. He definitely didn't have the personal appetite. I remember him referring to it several times as like my passion project. And he was happy that I was opening up my own studio because in Toronto, I was like lead instructor and, you know, the demand was really high and my classes were selling out weeks in advance. And he knew that. So he sort of never questioned the success of it, but it was just something that like, for him, it was like my passion. And I actually had an angel investor and we had nothing to do with it financially. And then with this, he was like, oh, this is an amazing idea. He was like, let me just do some research. And he kind of did, he dove into some of the competitive landscape research. And then he came back and was like, let's do this.
Well, I was shocked, but it just had never been done.
And he kept saying to me, why hasn't this been done though? Like there's mirrors, there's multiple mirrors, there's 10, 12 wine companies, there's multiple row companies. Like why? And it's funny because he asked why, not really understanding Pilates. And it was a very similar question that when we sat in front of very strategic investors who are highly sophisticated, I mean like CEO of Crunch Fitness Worldwide, the founder of 24 Hour Fitness, the largest manufacturer of fitness equipment in the world, all of our investors now, they all said, well, why hasn't this been done? And I'm like, it's just such an archaic, traditional world. Pilates is something that's there was no shakeup. So we were right to exploit a subsector of the market that was entirely untapped. And when I said that, all of a sudden, I was like, ah! With every single investor who are, again, super, like they're titans in the world of fitness.
Our kids got to watch, like their parents, go from, you know, an idea to inception and into execution. And I think they got their hard knock MBA just by being around us. And I think the mentality that, you know, you don't separate the two. They kind of just blend in because you love both of them. I mean, you can feel it, you can see it. You don't want to, you know, stay away from, you know, keep it separate. So that was a really exciting part too.
Incredible.
We also uprooted our whole family and moved them to California. So we were literally around the incubator for the first year and a half. And it was during the pandemic. So it was a very sort of like close time.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Absolutely. I feel like with the pandemic, from the work-life balance to work-life integration, where everything is kind of fused and you have to make it work together. And it sounds like it came together in the most beautiful way for you too.
Thank you. Yes.
Not always beautiful, but real.
But real. Yeah.
When it comes to that aha moment, and I think, Lee, I would love to hear your thoughts on just how Frame is really disrupting what were previously disparate worlds. There was the world of performer Pilates, which was, like you said, Melissa, something that people were either going in studio for or needing to get a private instructor to come to their house to help them use their machine, or the separate world of at-home fitness being a super accessible thing that you can just kind of pick up on your own at your own time in your own pace.
So initially for me, the aha moment was when we were pitching Mark Mastroff, and he basically said, like, I'll finish the round. And I was thinking to myself, we were reading about him a little before and you know, all the accomplishments that he had. And I said to Melissa, I was like, if one of the biggest people in fitness thinks that this is a great idea, that's our aha moment where we're like, we have something real here. So at that point, it was really exciting. Now, initially when we started executing on business, and we finished raising money, you know, we were really focused on that D2C side because we're really following all the other modalities out there in fitness and kind of, you know, saw the way they were working and saw that, you know, they were going in all these customers' homes. And then, you know, slowly as the pandemic kind of came to an end, I realized that the real big part of this, especially for reformer Pilates, was the B2B side. Because realistically, you've always had bikes, you've always had rowers, you've always had training equipment in big brick and mortars or hotels or, you know, condominiums, but you never had a reformer that you could just jump on and go like a treadmill. So, you know, that was a big moment for me where I realized, like, you know, this could work really well from the B2B side. And instead of paying for the cost of an OOI on a TSC or consumer, you know, product, we can have them go into these brick and mortars, try out our product, see if they like it, and then design it, bring it home.
It's like a multi-channel.
Correct.
Exactly. Multi-channel approach, yeah.
Yeah.
Really transcending the way Pilates is practiced, because prior, not to cut you off, no. I did cut you off, I waited. Prior to, I mean, really the disruption that is Frame Reformer, 98% of people go in and practice reformer Pilates in large groups, 10, 15, 20, 30, reformers in a class, and then less than 1% would have one in their home. When you went into brick and mortars, hotel gyms, even to this day, I mean, we're changing that right now. There's such a huge appetite because it doesn't exist. Like Equinox may have one Pilates reformer or two locked away somewhere, and you cannot access it without a private instruction.
And I would also say, like, you know, Pilates is done in so many different ways that, you know, you have to go to, you know, you can go to five different Pilates classes, all taught differently, you know, whether it be intensive, classical, rehabilitative, prenatal. So really the way we saw it was if we can consolidate the industry of Pilates by just having different types of instructors on our platform, the machines typically do very similar things, but it's just how it's taught. So, you know, for $39.99 a month for, you know, consumer product and the ability to do it for 30 days, that's like doing one class, but now you have all the different modalities of fitness packed into one reformer.
I have to just elaborate a little, only because when we talk about the intricacies of the various styles of Pilates, I think Lee definitely obviously knows, but probably just not with such detail. So what you were trying to say, or what you did say, but just to sort of
elaborate.
So solid core is one style of Pilates. It's like a power Pilates. It's very intensive. SLT, core evolution. These are one style of Pilates. And then if you want, you know, one day you may want a more classical style instruction, then maybe go to New York Pilates. But all these different studios, they don't even offer the variations amongst, it's like they choose one, your classical studio or your contemporary studio or your power studio, power Pilates. So by offering the different variations and the different styles with the different instructors who have the various certifications, we're able to consolidate really efficiently. And it's true, reformers do the same thing. They're very archaic. And it's really just the instructor and the actual instruction. So why not offer all the different types of instruction with one very, very simplistic machine? So we really just simplified everything. It doesn't need to be a torture chamber or super intimidating, or, you know, you don't need to be pulling springs anymore. I mean, there's innovation and there was innovation to be had, and we did it.
Absolutely. You said $39.99. I'm like, I don't know if I can do a Pilates class in LA for that price, let alone—
That's a single class.
Yeah, a single class. And let alone, I mean, if I wanted to try even, you know, the four types of Pilates that you just broke down, I'm at $160 at least for that discovery experience. And if I had the opportunity to go to my hotel gym while I'm on vacation and try all of those in a week, or go to my condo gym and try all of those in a week, like that just gives it, it really does make it so much more accessible. And then also, I love the breakdown that you did about the tucked away reformers at an Equinox, where you have to, again, have a session with an instructor in order to even access it. And you guys have really consolidated that instructor experience into a tablet, which is so powerful.
So we have a place in Miami and it's a wellness resort, and I'm a Pilates expert, and they have two reformers tucked away in a locked up room. And I said to them, now we have our frame reformer in our unit, but I had asked them when we first moved there, like, can I go and access the reformer? I had to book a private. I did book it.
But just to elaborate on that too, it's so funny because we were thinking the same thing as she was talking, but the way we were sharing about Pilates is that we were at a wellness, it's basically a wellness resort. And so because there's only one Pilates room, people go an hour and a half before the class to just get their bed. So, you know, you're waiting, you're going there, waking up really early just to get a seat because there aren't enough. And that's why we really believe that, like, having that accessibility to reformers will change the way you practice Pilates.
So not even in people's homes, but also just having them in your hotel gym, your condo gym, that you can just do by yourself.
Yeah, like I think you're speaking just to all of the different barriers that have existed to reformer Pilates before, whether it's like the actual gyms themselves, like, or the resorts themselves not letting people access without booking an instructor, even if they're experts and instructors themselves. And then there's just
they wouldn't know what to do. They would look at it and be like, I don't want to sit with this, or, you know what I mean? I understand why they had them tucked away. But that's why, with having, you know, our touch screen and a really super intuitive UI, it just makes it so that it's actually quite easy for you to follow along. And our second aha moment was when we were in New York. So we do all our content creation in a studio in New York, and we've had over, I would say, 80 plus organic media, you know, CNN writers, editors, contributors to CNN, Women's Health, Well and Good, everybody, GQ.
Good Housekeeping.
And some people had never done Pilates, and they come in and we intro ourselves. And the whole point is that I walk away. I help them put their Bluetooth and their AirPods, because sometimes there's, like, you know, it takes a moment to understand how to do it. And then I walk away, and I would say the first five editors to try it who didn't have they're not like avid Pilates people. They would finish the class and say, like, that was so hard cardiovascularly or muscularly, but so simple to follow along. Like, I'm shocked. I actually didn't think it was possible. And that was like the second aha moment. It's like, okay, Now, I mean, 80, 90 plus, you know, editors who potentially aren't like crazy Pilates enthusiasts, love it, did it, amazing. And now, you know.
Yeah, we're delivering some of our first units. And so far, the feedback has been incredible. I mean, for me, I think when you're so heavily, you know, focused on getting everything to market efficiently and you know, working really hard to execute, I always thought that I would have a business once it's in somebody's home and they're telling us how they enjoy the unit without knowing who they are. And that was a big moment for me because the feedback has been incredible. You know, all the people that have received our product to date, you know, there might be some questions here and there because it's a brand new product. But other than that, they all said, we love the classes. We love the reformer. It's amazing. So far the feedback has been incredible. And, you know, I guess it's the first place that we're really sharing that.
That is awesome. Congratulations. Lee, I'm curious, when it clicked to you that the B2B marketing was an approach that both like other at-home fitness companies had not really tapped into, but could be so valuable for you and for Frame. Was it difficult for you to get Melissa or the investors on board, or did everybody see it once you saw it?
I mean, I think they got it right away. I mean, I'm pretty sure investors initially, like when we were focused on the D2C, like the big fitness investors, they knew this was going to be big in B2B. But I think really the big thing that you're talking about, how other companies aren't so focused on it, there's a reason for that. They already have all those modalities. They already have a treadmill. They already have a bike. They already have a rower. So for us, we're adding. We're not replacing. And so when you already have a product in there, you already paid for it. You're not going to replace it. But if you put a new product in there, it will bring a new offering to them. And so I think, to me, it just made a lot more sense. And then from a marketing standpoint, I mean, for them to be able to use it, try it, like it, and then decide to bring it home. So I think, you know, it's people are always reluctant at first to buy a product that they don't know about. But if you can try that product, you have a better chance to bring it home.
For sure. We actually knew our first 500 pre-orders were Pilates enthusiasts. We didn't have to convert anybody. There was no barrier of entry. People who are buying a pre-order product without seeing it in real life, physically, without having a storefront, these are crazy enthusiasts. They love reformer and they want it in their home. They're dying for the solution. And valuable point, B2B allows us to convert everybody to a Pilates enthusiast because, oh, I see that, you know, in my gym, I'm going to try it. Then they love it. Now they want it at home.
It's so funny because one of the customers that got one of our early reformers said to me that her husband is doing it every single day. And she bought it for herself and her husband loves it. And he was just ecstatic to get it. So, you know, you're going to see a huge part of the market that has been untapped dive into it. You know, when you look at, let's say, at pro athletes, you know, during the off season, they're looking to bulk and get bigger and stronger. But during the season, they're looking to take care of their body and not get any injury, you know, not have any injury or less propensity for injury. So really, you know, when you look at that side of the market, it's huge. You know, when you look at, you know, college athletes, when you look at high school athletes, when you look at, you know, just athletes in general, there's a market out there that has just not been touched.
And Pilates is having its moment where now more than ever, everybody, there's sort of like a light that's been shown on reformer Pilates specifically, men, athletes, young Gen Ys and Zs, older women, everybody. Whereas primarily before, it was sort of viewed as a woman-dominant form of exercise.
It's actually funny. My 11-year-old daughter, loves, like, she's followed. I mean, she's been with us this whole time through this process. And when we got her reformer, she's like, I want to use this every day. And she literally has been on the reformer every day. So actually, I was speaking to a B2B customer that was looking to buy our product for a bunch of his micro gyms, they call it. And he said, you know, how hard is it? Because, you know, I don't want a trainer sitting there teaching these people how to use it. I said, my 11-year-old does it.
Wow. And then he said, 11-year-olds can be tech savvy.
Very powerful. That's wild. Yeah. I mean, I think you see so many of those. I mean, I think I think about yoga and how it was once thought to be pretty gendered as well, and pretty like not something. My dad was in the NFL in the 80s, and his teams would have the athletes do yoga and take dance classes because agility and balance are core parts of taking care of your body, right? He'll reflect on that time and how they felt so silly doing those types of movements because, as you know, big, strong men in the 80s, it didn't feel like the types of activities they should be doing, and how in reality, it was exactly what their bodies needed. And I think Pilates, it does sound like, is having that similar moment of being embraced by everyone who can benefit from it, which happens to be everyone.
Yes. Exactly. And that's the thing, the age range is so diverse. They ask us who we're going to target. It's really hard to pinpoint it because I say, you know, 35 to 55 because we really need a target. But really the truth is like 18 to 80. So.
And the target market, it varies. If we're talking about D2C, people placing in their homes, it's not going to be, you know, the 23, 24, 25-year-old. They're not established. They're still in university. But they will be the ones who will engage, you know, in brick and mortars, and when they're traveling, when they're in their own gym, their condo gyms, et cetera.
Exactly. And then fall in love with it. And when you do have the budget and the space in your own home to put one in the garage or in your gym, can't wait, right?
Exactly.
Totally.
So I think looking just back over even from 2018, knowing that was when you, Melissa, really started your journey in terms of creating your own reformer and running your own studios, we've seen the world transform so much since then. We've seen the industry of at-home fitness transform and explode in so many ways. It's now approaching, what, $7 billion? Can you talk a little bit about just what shifts you've seen when it comes to the way that the average consumer is thinking about their health and wellness today compared to when you got started?
Well, I'll just start by saying, you know, there's one thing that you control. Like, you know, I feel like life is all about, you know, controlling yourself. And there's one really important thing that you control, and that's you. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's more focused on health, right? It's more prevalent. It's out there. It's, you know, on social media. It's in the news. It's on, you know, ads. So, you know, and the one thing that you have to deal with is a lot of mental health, especially during the pandemic, especially with what's happening in the world. So I think, you know, wellness in general is only getting bigger, like we said, $7 trillion. And I think that, you know, we're just a small portion of this massive movement in wellness. And I think that, you know, with everybody at work, or everybody's, you know, was working from home, you know, they really, you know, it took a strain on a lot of people's mental health. And what they could control is how we feel internally. And I think that was a huge change in people's lives. Not only was it before, but it's way more prevalent.
I think the pandemic, we can really sort of isolate a moment in time where everybody who is living, apart from like potentially our great grandparents or our grandparents who had gone through a pandemic, you know, it was like, okay, We sort of, everybody was in the initial earlier months of the pandemic, we kind of lived like we were invincible, particularly young people. And then all of a sudden, there was this unprecedented virus there were so many unknowns. It was very ambiguous. And I think that shifted the wellness world in a way where now it's not just like wellness enthusiasts. Now, all of a sudden, every single person was thinking about their health, how they can achieve greater health. I recently read a stat that smoking amongst young people has never been lower, whereas 4 or 5 years ago, it never been higher. So I think that everybody now, particularly post-pandemic, is just all about achieving optimal health. And we're seeing that people are willing to not only prioritize it, but they're willing to spend and prioritize on optimal health, how they can achieve not only optimal health, but longevity in life. And I think the pandemic was a huge sort of precursor and then exacerbated what we all perceived as like a society. I mean, as a society, we all experienced it at the exact same time, the exact same thing. Fear, what's going on, and how do we beat something that we can't control? Health.
Absolutely. I saw I think it was just a meme, but they were just talking about how maybe like 5-10 years ago, the flexes were these big external signs of wealth. And now that the greatest flex in 2023 is just being healthy, is having an incredible, is being as in shape as possible and taking incredible care of yourself and what that, how that is reflected in the way that you live.
I don't really go on TikTok, but if you go on TikTok, or like, I know that our executive assistant's always on TikTok, and like health and wellness just dominates it.
She's going to kill you for that. That's the
<She's> down.
Listen, someone's got to be on TikTok, you know, got to stay hip.
But health and wellness dominates TikTok.
I just think also when you look at like, just to add to that, like, even in the insurance industry, a lot of these insurance companies are just, because I have a little bit of background in that.
You have an insurance business.
Yeah, but a lot of these insurance companies are basically, you know, employers are able to pay for a lot of these, you know, whether it be their gym memberships or whether it be, you know, a bike, whether it be a psychologist, right? So everything that they're trying to do is not only make, you know, their employees happy, but, you know, slow down any sort of mental health reasons for them not to come back to work. So I think, you know, wellness is getting bigger, not only, you know, in the fitness industry, but all across all industries as well.
I also think that we're seeing a shift in preventative medicine for the first time ever. I've always been a huge proponent of preventative medicine. I think that also just came from, like, when I think about preventative, that's why I like anything prophylactic. When I think about why I love Pilates, low impact, super kind of my body. I'm huge into self-care. So I think that for the first time, we're focusing on that preventative measure, which is being optimally healthy.
That totally makes sense. And I think it's very unique to like westernized medicine that we wait to react to a symptom instead of taking care of ourselves from the start. I think there's so many, even like parts of our body that we just kind of take for granted, our feet and our eyes and our hips, right? Like that we don't think about tending to until there's something actually wrong. And you realize that like life is really difficult without these pieces functioning. So that's so powerful and definitely makes sense. I also think like going back to your comments about how much of a toll the pandemic took on everyone's mental health. It's really like finding the space for a morning walk or a morning workout, right? And like setting the tone, getting some fresh air, like eating delicious, nourishing foods. Like there are just so many things that we had to individually find to make ourselves feel better. And I think pre-pandemic, it was easy to just go out and get distracted from the things that didn't feel good. And when we lost those distractions, it was like getting in tune with ourselves and finding the ways to make every day start a little brighter, you know, whether that's a morning workout or a nighttime workout, but it usually includes moving your body in some capacity.
Oh. For sure. I also think that's why Reformer Pilates is having, or Pilates in general is having its moment, because there's been so many recent studies that actually link, there's many cognitive benefits to Pilates because of the intricacy, because mentally you can't just jump on a reformer and do it like it. I know Lee likes to say like a treadmill, but when you do like, let's say a 20 minute cycle and you're just spinning and your mind's racing and you know, you can be really in the moment or you can be out of the moment. It's Reformer Pilates requires you to use your brain in a way that's creating more physiological synapses. Like there's no firing. I'm a psych major, so I love to get into the neural pathways and how, you know, you're generating more neural pathways, because there's you have to think when you're doing Reformer Pilates. And that's why also like Lee gets bored very easily working out. Like, I don't think he could even last 10 minutes on a treadmill, though, or he about 7 minutes maximum. He finds it tedious. So cardiovascular.
I get a sweat.
Straight cardio is boring for him. Like he has to be either doing like a sport or something that engages him. But with Reformer Pilates, you're engaged the entire time. So I think that that's another reason why Pilates is so amazing. And I can't wait for the entire world to really experience what Pilates is.
Can you each, my last question, share with me your favorite way to use your frame reformer?
I like to do it in the morning. Really before I start my day, before my kids are awake. I do have three kids. So, you know, when I come home in the evening after a long day of work, I like to spend time with them, whether it be like watching sports, really to spend time with me. But yeah, in the mornings, it's quite quiet. So, you know, I really love to get in there. And because I can plug in my headphones, the kids, I don't wake them up and they don't come and interrupt. So that's my favorite time.
And also, what do you like to do? He's quick and dirty. 20-minute power Pilates. Got the crazy sweat. A lot of core.
That's basically it. Inner thighs is pretty tough on me. So I like to really focus on the core.
And I love doing nighttime sessions. I like lighting a candle. I have a huge spiritual aspect of my personality, which is very different than my Capricorn pragmatic CEO side. But that's me. And I love doing like a 20 or 30 minute nighttime reform. Sometimes I like to get in too. Like if I'm doing, particularly if we're in Miami and we're in Zoom meetings all day long, I'll take like 20 or 30 minutes lunch and I'll jump on. And then I love doing a longer class at night. I love the accessibility because oftentimes like we're in an office today. And we're in office sometimes, but we're also traveling a lot and we're in Miami a lot, our place in Miami. So
just very decentralized. So, you know, whenever you can get it in really is the time. But typically in the mornings for me and at night for her, we like to do it at separate times.
And luckily we have a friend reformer at our place in Miami, Evan Doral.
Always on hand. I love it. I love visualizing all of those different takes on it and just how accessible it makes it, and you can make it a full ritual. I would love to know, Melissa, what in your chart is bringing in the spiritual vibes since you have the Capricorn energy. But also,
it probably has a bunch of rocks on the way. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, you got the crystals on deck. I love it.
I actually have a really beautiful one. I'll just, you continue talking, but like this one's fool's gold. It's stunning. I actually just got it when I was in LA.
I love that. I have some of that on my altar as well.
I also wear them everywhere.
Those are beautiful. But yeah, I mean, between like the nighttime, creating more of a ritual around it versus, you know, getting it in the morning before the kids are up versus grabbing the quick lunch break and making sure you get that sweat in, even to like refocus, you know, shake the morning meetings off, get ready for the afternoon. I think you guys have just made some really great points in terms of the ways that you can kind of build it into your routine and make it a really beautiful part of your fitness journey. So that's awesome. Thank you both so much for being with me today. I know that our community is going to learn so much from this, and I'm excited to see where you take Frame from here.
We're also super excited.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was great.
Thanks for tuning in to Culture, Talent, and Growth. If you found value in this conversation, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend. You can visit bringruckus.com for more ways to connect. And remember, new episodes come out on Tuesday.